How would you feel if you paid someone to do research for you, and then you had to pay somebody else to see the results? That's the way it works in academic publishing. Through taxes, everyone contributes to the government grants that fund research projects in all kinds of fields, from health and social issues to natural sciences. But the results of this publicly funded research aren't publicly available. A few publishing companies control the distribution of academic journals, which are the main way that researchers share their findings and build on each other's work. If you want to read the journals, you have to subscribe, or else work for an institution that does. Making things worse, the publishing companies mostly rely on voluntary labor to make their profit. Authors don't get paid for their articles, and the peer review process depends on researchers donating their time to check the quality of each other's work. Earlier this fall, I had a chance to talk about these things with Dr. Harold Bowder from Ryerson University. He told me about the problems with the academic publishing industry, as well as some of the alternatives that people are working hard to create.
Can you start by explaining why journals are important as a way to share knowledge?
Well, this is how the way that we distribute our knowledge. This is the way that we are getting it out to the community, and then we go to the library and check out the journals and read up on what our colleagues are doing. So it's the main medium next to conferences, how we communicate with each other, especially when it comes to research and research output.
So it allows researchers to build on each other's work and allow knowledge to advance, I guess, essentially. Is that right?
Yes, precisely. When we do research and when we produce work for journals, then we do reference each other's work that is also published in journals. So the journals are actually quite essential in the way that we produce knowledge. And knowledge production, of course, is a cumulative and a collective effort in that sense.
What about for non-academic people who are interested in the same topics, maybe, or would be interested in learning about some of the studies that are published in these journals? How widely available are academic journals to the general public?
Well, they're generally available if you pay for them. The problem is that most journals are corporate run, and the way universities and students have access to these journals and the stuff that's produced, the knowledge that is produced in these journals, is through subscriptions. If a university subscribes to the journal and pays the fee, then they can make that work and that journal available to their students and to the staff and the professors that are working at that institution. There's also a possibility to that individual acquire a subscription to the journals. They tend to be too expensive for students to afford, and I think very few individuals have the resources to buy these subscriptions.
Or likewise, small organizations with small budgets also probably couldn't afford.
Not only small organizations, but then when you're also talking about the knowledge that is being created and should be accessible, that is created here in places like Canada, the United States, or Europe, and should be accessible globally, you find that a lot of the institutions, sometimes even the most renowned institutions within a country, in a developing country, doesn't have the resources to access all the sources and acquire all the journals that are necessary for them to really do the best kind of work that they want to do.
So a lot of the research that goes into producing journal articles is funded by the public, by national research agencies, whether that's in Canada or other countries. What does that say about the use of public resources if these journals then end up being controlled by corporations and have limited access?
Well, there are two components to this question, really. The first component is that the work that we are performing is publicly funded in the first place. Professors are, or universities are, publicly funded institutions and subsidized institutions, and our jobs are too. So the knowledge that we are producing should be accessible to the general public. And also the public that funds it. Not only that the taxpayer has the right to access to that information, but the taxpayer should have an interest in that knowledge being freely available to anyone, not only to Canadians, but also to anyone in the world, because this is something, a knowledge that we share and that we collectively create. And another component is that a lot of the research is publicly funded through grant money. And so the Social Sciences and Humanities Council of Canada, for example, provides grants for social scientists and researchers in the humanities to produce work. And if that work, if the outcome of that research is not published in open access journals, but in a corporate journal that charges subscription rates, then this is not publicly available. It's only available to the institutions that have the funds to acquire these journals. Recently, these granting councils, especially in Canada and the U.S., have made a push towards asking researchers to make their research publicly available in an open access format.
So presumably the corporations that own these journals are then making a profit from the knowledge that's contained within the journals. Why do researchers continue to support this system in terms of volunteering their labor to act as editors, as reviewers of journal articles, as well as authors? How does that system keep on going?
I think there are a number of factors contributing to it. The first one might just be lack of awareness that we're not really thinking along the lines that our work should be publicly accessible, because we are working in a university environment, and if we do send our work to a particular journal, then we can assume that people like us, who are also located in these institutions, are receiving access, having access to that work, and will actually read it. Another part of the answer might be a lack of alternatives, that there are a few open access journals out there, but not as many as corporate journals, and that new models now emerging. There are some journals that are funded by universities and also by institutions like SHRC and non-profit organizations that do promote open access publishing. But still, in terms of numbers, the corporate journals are really dominating still. And a third part of the answer might be a convention that corporate journals are very good in selling themselves. They're very good in acquiring status, and they're able to entice their academics that are looking for publishing outlets in saying, basically, hey, if you publish with us, we can make sure that you're cited by your peers, we can make sure that we market your work accordingly. And that will then give you status, which helps you to promote your own career and so forth. So it's part of that competitive environment that we're increasingly having in academia.
So you yourself are involved with an open access journal, an alternative publishing option. What have the main barriers been that you've faced, or what has the experience of trying to establish that been like?
Well, one of the biggest problems is that we have to do the work ourselves, or we have to find independent funding to help us with it. The way that corporate journals operate is they charge the subscription rates. And part of these rates, or the money that they're getting for it, part of it is profits, and the other part would be allocated towards paying for staff that does the typesetting, the copy editing, the marketing, and so forth. So the authors don't have to do that. They can send their work to the journal, and the journal then pays for the rest. And we don't have these resources. We don't have an income in that sense. So we depend on universities making staff available, helping us formatting some of the work. A lot of the work we do ourselves. And it's very time consuming to produce a journal. And we're reaching our limitations in the way that the number of issues that we're producing, the way that we can get the word out, and in terms of marketing strategy, which is sort of the irony, is that we still want to market our journal because we wanted to make it, the work that is published in that journal, we want to make it as widely as available as possible. And we don't really have the resources of a corporate journal because we're not selling our product.
What gives you hope that this alternative model might grow and maybe even become the norm in the future?
That academics and researchers are realizing that when they publish with us, that their work will be globally available to students, to academics, to non-academics, to everyone who has a computer and an internet connection, which is another problem. But that's a whole lot better than with some of the corporate journals that have high subscription rates, and the people that can read the work, it's really just an elite segment of academics that have access to that work.
And if anyone who's listening wants to see what an open access journal looks like, is there anywhere that you would refer them to have a look at one?
Oh yes, to our own. And that is www.acme-journal.org.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about this today.
Okay.
That was Dr. Harold Bowder from Ryerson University. We've been talking about the academic publishing industry and how to make publicly funded research more publicly available.